Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of Misanthrope Radio. This episode's going to be a little bit different. As the creator and founder of Misanthrope Radio, I reserve the right to flip the script anytime I like. Historically speaking, I have an abstract or concrete thought or something that is irritating me or something I've noticed, and I will do about 15 minutes on that topic in the most absurd way imaginable. I will then have that chick say segment 2, and then I will do it again. Wash, rinse, repeat. You typically get 2 topics per episode of Misanthrope Radio, and we keep it moving. I'm not going to say it's a formula, because it's not. It's just kind of the way it works out. I want to do about 30-minute episodes, typically do 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes 20 if I'm really passionate about something, and then I move on to the next topic, and or end the episode. But occasionally, things happen that weigh on my mind. The last time I broke fucking character, I should say, and did an episode unlike what we usually do here at Misanthrope Radio was when that Ukrainian girl got stabbed in her fucking neck and then Charlie Kirk got killed. I spent about 30 seconds on Charlie Kirk. That episode was basically me lamenting the fact that we live in a place where A, something like that could happen, and B, a significant portion of the population is kind of okay with it. Right? So that's the last time I really broke character and did something outside of my comfort zone. This is another one of those times. And I guess the best way to start off talking about what I'm going to talk to you about today is to tell you, in a moment of frank, complete honesty, I don't keep people. And that's really the most plain way I can fucking say it. I don't keep people. I don't collect people. I don't hoard people. I don't have any long-term friends. And, you know, a lot of people meet folks in, let's say, high school or college, and they become their long-time, lifelong friends, and they get together and they play softball, or they go fucking bowling, or they join a union together, or some shit like that. They attend church together. They become Masons, you know, or whatever normal people do. I don't do that. I've met tons of people. I've connected with tons of people throughout the course of my life. And then life changes, or geography changes, or the job changes. And once they're gone, they're just gone. I don't write them off. I don't forget about them. But I also have this deep-seated desire to never be a problem. And it comes from my radio days, honestly. This is a character flaw. Everyone's on the fucking spectrum nowadays, right? Everybody's got a fucking reason why they're unique or they're fitting into this particular fucking niche category. I don't know what you would call this, but I remember sitting in the office manager's office and her phone rang and she looked at the fucking phone. It was when back in the fucking day when everybody had those indestructible Nokia phones, she looked at her phone and she rolled her eyes and she goes, "God damn." And she takes the call and she's just as pleasant and sweet as she could possibly be. And the moment she hung up, her face dropped back into that of utter disgust and she kind of tossed her phone down on the desk. And she said something like, "Why can't people just move on?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "She hasn't worked here in 5 years and she still calls me like we're best friends." I'm not going to say that that was a watershed moment, but it's something that stuck with me from that moment on. I don't keep people because that moment sitting in that fucking dopey broad's office really resonated with me. It really stuck with me. It plagued me. And I remember saying to her, "God damn, I hope you don't ever roll your fucking eyes like that when I call someday." And she goes, "Oh, I would never do that to you." Yeah, why not? What the fuck makes me any different than whoever the fuck that was on the phone? That moment stuck with me. And from that moment on, you can say, Lorenzo doesn't keep people because I don't want to be a bother. I don't ever want to be the person that fucking calls and you roll your eyes at, put on a fucking happy face, and take the call. So when the environment changes, when whatever brought us together to connect on whatever level is altered, changed, or severed, I just fade away into the background. I become somebody that you used to know. I guess you'd call that insecurity or questioning my own self-worth. Maybe it is. I don't fucking know. I just know that once I move on or you move on from a job or a town or a situation, I'm gonna fade away. I'm gonna fade slowly out of your life. It's never a blow up. There's never a shatter point where you have to decide whether or not you want to continue knowing me. It's never fucking unpleasant. I just quietly fade away. I say all that to say this. Throughout the course of this podcast episode, you're going to hear me refer to people as my friend. I had a friend, or I have a friend, or this guy I know. Understand that I no longer know them. They're in the past, some in the recent past, some in the distant past. They're people that I used to know. Some of them may not even remember my fucking name. But conversations that we've had or interactions that we've had have stuck with me, and I would still consider them to be a friend. It sounds really fucking sad and lonely when I say that, but it's not. I'm leading up to something here, bear with me. A friend of mine recently passed away. I say passed away because it's not like he had a fucking car accident or fell off a building or had a heart attack having sex with a hooker or something like that. It was nothing like that at all. The guy was old, in his 90s, and he just died. And I call him a friend because in my mind, he was one of the few people that I can say have really had a positive impact on my life. I learned a lot from this dude. I really did. And that sounds really gay. But he was somebody that I considered to be a friend. Now, here's one of those times. If you grabbed him up a couple days before he died and said, hey, there's this fucking guy named Lorenzo who counts you as one of his friends, he might look at you right in your face and say, Lorenzo who? I'm not pretending to be important to him, but he was important to me. Anyway, he passed away. His funeral was this last Sunday, as a matter of fact, in a nearby city. I did not go, but I read his obituary, and this has really bothered me. It's been bothering me for a week, ever since I read his obit. It's been weighing on my mind. This man died peacefully in his sleep. He is survived by his wife and his two kids who loved him dearly. He will be remembered fondly as someone who was absolutely at the pinnacle of their fucking craft in their professional life. Donations can be made here and whatnot. But what bothered me is this. Yes, he is survived by his wife. He had not lived with his wife for 40 years. They were estranged. They were not divorced. That's true, they weren't. But it was not a fucking closely guarded secret that this man was gay. He was one of those old school gays. Never really came out of the closet, but everyone knew. We all knew. We all knew the man was gay. He had a partner. A lifelong partner. He wasn't out there fucking hitting the fucking hot tub bars or whatever the fuck, you know, went on back in the 70s and the 80s on the gay scene. He had a guy, a husband, I guess you would say. They lived together. And that man's name was not in the obituary. And it fucking bothered me. And it bothered me in a way that it's taken me almost a week to classify. He was gay, as queer as a $3 bill. We never talked about it. We never discussed it. He never came out of the closet. But everyone knew he was gay. Everyone knew that the guy he lived with was not his roommate. It was his partner. They went everywhere together. They were seen all over town. They were never seen holding hands or making out in public or wearing fucking rainbow t-shirts or anything like that. And what bothered me about his obituary was the fact that the man that he chose to spend his life with was not mentioned in the obit. And I wonder how many people read that fucking obituary who knew him, because he was a very popular dude, very well known throughout the state and in the industry he was in. I'm gonna say nationally, at least regionally famous. I wonder how many people read that obituary and said, well, where's Brian's name? Why has Brian been left out of the fucking obit? And it's not like I was reading the obituary waiting for them to fucking mention Brian with the family saying, and survived by his wife, his two kids, and Brian, his gay lover. and Brian his catcher's mitt, and Brian his fucking jizz pocket. I didn't think that they were going to fucking out him like that in the newspaper. You know what I mean? But I did kind of expect there to be something to suggest that Brian was an important part of this man's life and survived by, you know, wife, two kids, and best friend Brian, or lifelong pal Brian, or just goddamn Brian. Why didn't they put Brian in there? It's been weighing on me. It's been fucking bothering me. It's actually bothering me quite a bit. You know, I talk a lot of shit on Misanthrope Radio. I do. I'll be the first one to come across with a fucking racist joke or a dick joke or a gay humor or something like that. I absolutely do. And I will poke fun at fucking anything, including myself. But the bottom line is, they didn't put Brian's name in the obituary because these two men came from a time when being gay was shameful. Being gay was something you never admitted to. Being gay was a crime against God. If Brian and or this man before he died had any input at all on his obituary, they chose even in death to hide this man from the shame of being gay. That fucking bothers me. It really fucking does. It weighs on me in a way that I can't really fucking quantify. The only thing I can say is this. This man was deeply religious and also gay. He went to church every Sunday and took a very active role in his church every Sunday, but was also gay. Attended church faithfully, sang in the choir with his partner, and was also, both of them, extraordinarily gay. But when it came time, when the man was dead and he had the opportunity to make sure that the people who survived him extolled the virtues of this man Brian, who he gave 40 fucking plus years of his life to in faithful fucking companionship and partnership, they did not. They left him out of the fucking obit. So the last public declaration and celebration of this man's life is going to be shrouded in a fucking lie. And I did not go to the fucking funeral. I was never going to go. I was never going to go to the funeral. Let's be honest. I was never going to go. I don't fucking keep people. I hadn't talked to this guy in 25 years. I was never going to go to the fucking funeral. But one of the factors that kept me away from this funeral was I could not go and watch that fucking farce play out. This man's wife is a great lady, and his kids, I'm sure, are fucking wonderful, and that's great, but they're going to sit there, and they're going to fold the fucking flag, and they're going to hand it to her, and she's going to be weeping all in black. Bitch, you haven't lived with him in 50 fucking years. And I did not want to be there to see Brian standing in the fucking back, all dressed in black with fucking sunglasses and an umbrella. You know what I mean? Because we couldn't fucking publicly acknowledge the fact that this man was gay, lest there be shame cast upon the family. Everybody fucking knew. It was the worst kept secret in the Midwest. Everyone fucking knew he was gay. Everybody. And I didn't want to have to see Brian standing in the back or standing to the side, quietly fucking grieving the loss of the man he loved more than anyone else in the world. I didn't want to see that. Probably was never going to go anyway, but I definitely was not going to go watch that. The moment I read that obituary and saw that his life partner had been excluded from that obituary, I immediately played out in my mind the bullshit that his funeral was going to be, and I wasn't going to go watch that happen. These people were raised in a time when being gay was shameful, when it was a mortal sin. Hell, it may be. I don't fucking know. And that kind of brings me to what I want to talk to you about today, religion, and my problem with it. All of the conflicting emotions and intersecting and contradictory thoughts that I have, and experiences, I guess, that I have that pertain to religion. I've been a lot of places, lived in a lot of places, seen a lot of people, met a lot of people, known a lot of people, experienced a lot of different religions firsthand. And in the case of this man, he lived his life in the shadows and never publicly acknowledged who he really was, not even in death. And in the case of this man, I put the blame for him feeling like he needed to conceal himself squarely on the shoulders of a society that bows to religion. You know, one of the things I hear people say all the time is that they have a fundamental issue with going to church because of the people. The people make fucking church fucked up and they hate church because of the people, right? And if you've listened to Misanthrope Radio version 2.0 for any fucking period of time, you know that I can't stand people on a fundamental level. It almost doesn't matter what people do. I'm typically going to disapprove of it. However, in the case of this recently deceased gay man, he was an avid churchgoer, loved his church, gave his time, talent, and treasure to his church family. My question is this: why would an organization like a Christian church accept the time, talent, and treasure of a man who is obviously, clearly, and not very secretly gay? Why would they do that? I want you to take a 700-foot view of Christianity with me. The Bible is very clear on what God's stance is on homosexuality. Very clear. There's not much room for misinterpretation. I guess I could sit here and thumb through the fucking Bible for you and give you all the different passages telling you that if you're fucking gay, you're going to fucking burn in a lake of fire. If you're fucking gay, you are damned eternally. Okay? I mean, I guess I could do that, but I don't really research here on Misanthrope Radio. You know what I mean? So I've never done it before, so why would I start now? If you grew up with a Christian background like I did, you know that the Bible is very fucking clear on homosexuality. So I understand why a gay man would want to go to church. I get it. It's for a sense of community. And it's for the belief that God loves everyone, even if he doesn't love what you do. So I don't question why this man was involved in his church. I totally get it. And I don't necessarily even question why the church allowed him to become a member. If you are an organization whose entire goal is to bring people in off the streets, educate them in the ways of your religion so they can share eternal life with you, you're going to accept anyone who comes with an open heart. I understand that piece too. I get it. I understand why he went, and I understand why they let him stay. My problem is this: why would an organization whose textbook says in numerous places throughout its pages what God's stance is on homosexuality, why would that organization accept the time, talent, and treasure of someone that they know is gay? But that's what they did. He gave tons of fucking money to this church. He gave tons of money and tons of his time and tons of his talent to this church. Why would they accept that? If they were real, if they were honest with themselves, and if they were honestly trying to live according to the tenets of the book that they extol as the exact fucking word of God, why would they accept the time, talent, and treasure of someone that they know, according to their teachings, is going to burn in hell? Why would they do that? It doesn't make any fucking sense. I understand why they let him stay. They're hoping that he will repent and see the light. I understand why he went. He wants to just fucking belong, and he doesn't believe he's damned. And honestly, I don't know that it's even their place to tell him. You could make the case that they should have met him at the door and been like, "We know that you are one of them fucking gays. You can just turn around and take your faggot ass right back to your truck." On one hand, it would make perfect sense for them to do that. And there's maybe even a little bit of fucking respect you gotta have for an organization that's gonna live that fucking gangster. You know? An organization that believes their shit is the truth so much that they're willing to fucking turn people away who live a lifestyle contrary to what they believe to be the way to God. I don't necessarily agree with that. But I do think it's hypocritical and even a little predatory to accept the time, talent, and treasure from a man that you know, according to your religion's textbook, is damned to hell. But they did. They took every fucking dime he gave. Happily. They happily took that money. And from what I'm told, he gave a significant portion of his fortune to that church over the course of time. It's dishonest, and it's dishonest in a very fucking gross, upsetting way. Chasing the almighty dollar is what it feels like to me from the outside looking in. Now, I don't want you to think that this is an anti-Christianity rant that I'm on here, because it's not. All I'm saying, if I'm saying anything, is that the man who was the most important person in my dead friend's life was excluded from the public celebration of this man's life purely because there is shame attached to their lifestyle in a society that was founded on Christian principles, and that Christian church willingly accepted all of the time, talent, and treasure that the recently departed had to give. This man was gay. I'm even relatively confident that he and his partner Brian attended this church together. That's how open they were in their relationship. They just didn't fucking make out in public. And when it came time for this organization to celebrate this motherfucker's life, they excluded the person that he chose to spend his life with, simply because society has been taught to think a certain way about people of that lifestyle by the very organization that accepted all of his time, talent, and treasure. What the fuck? And no one is really, I don't think, outraged except me. The few people I've tried to talk to about this are just like, yeah, it's fucked up, but you know, that's just the way it is. No, it's not okay. I'm not just going to fucking wave it off as one of those things that we just need to accept this as fucking reality. Why the fuck is it like this? If you're not going to fucking accept the man wholly into your fucking church, then don't fucking accept him at all. Certainly don't accept his money. A Christian organization, if they were being honest, would have sat down and had a meeting with this man when he decided to join that church and just laid it all out there in the open. And the conversation would have gone something like this. You know, we really appreciate that you chose us. We want you to be here. We love seeing you walk through those doors. Let's just get down to brass tacks here and lay all our fucking cards on the table. We all know you're gay. Everyone in the world knows you're gay. You're the gayest man in America. Okay, we want you here. We want you to be part of the congregation. We want you to come here and worship the Lord with us. However, because of your lifestyle and the fact that our textbook, the foundation of our very organization, says that you are in fact eternally damned to hell, we cannot accept your time, talent, and treasure. So keep your money, and you can't be on any committees. That's probably fucked up to say, but we would be betraying our tenets and what we hold is true if we allowed you to throw a bunch of money at us and give us your time. Other than that, though, welcome. Coffee and donuts after church, and we do have Sunday school, and it's pretty instructive. We think that you will enjoy the lessons. Good talk. And if he was then willing to participate in that church under those terms, then fucking great. But at least everything was being done honestly and above board. You know, I don't know. I don't know that I'm making any fucking sense at all. All I know for sure is that it fucking rubbed me the wrong way. The whole fucking thing rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm not even saying that Christianity is a bad fucking option. I think it's great, especially when you compare it to other world religions. Fucking Hindus are nuts. Okay? Have you ever interacted with honest-to-God Hindus, like devout Hindus? Those motherfuckers, I had a conversation with a guy named Sherwin. He was an Indian from India. And I made some kind of fucking offhanded comment about the Ganges River being the most polluted body of water in the world. And he stood there and looked me directly in my face and said, no, it's not. It is the pure tears of Ganesha or some shit like that. I don't remember the fucking god associated with the flowing of the Ganges River. And I looked at him, I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yes, that is the tears of one of our most beloved gods or something like that. I said, the Ganges River is literal tears of one of your gods. And he's like, yes, it's the most pure water in the world. I said, are you joking? And he said, no. I said, bro, I've seen footage of the fucking Ganges River. It's the constant flow of fucking trash and incidentally the occasional dead body floating down river. But Hindus are so fucking delusional, they will stand in the Ganges River amidst fucking dead bodies floating by and fucking piles of trash and dead manatees and shit and look you right in your face and tell you, no, this is the most pure and sacred water in the world. Completely fucking delusional. Okay, so if you're not going to be a Hindu and Christianity's not for you, what is there? Islam? Okay, Muslims are obviously insane. Okay, oh, now, hang on, but are they? Islam is 1,394 years old. Christianity is 2,000 years old. Only in the last 200 or so years has Christianity stopped being fucking crazy. So if we're going to use Christianity as a template for the maturation of a world religion, we have about 400 more years of Muslims beheading infidels and stoning chicks who've seen more than one penis before they fucking chill out a little bit. Because the first 1600 years or so of Christianity was off the fucking chain. Lest we not forget where the fuck we came from. Alright, I think I'm just gonna fucking go ahead and stick a fork in this episode of Misanthrope Radio. This really kind of isn't what I wanted to do. When I sat down to record Misanthrope Radio, first of all, I talked about how I was sick. Yet again, that didn't make the cut. And then I went into talking about government. I definitely don't want to fucking talk about politics. I'm taking a fucking step back away from that, by the way. I got caught up in the fucking news cycle accidentally, again, for about 2 weeks. And I really started to fucking care about what's going on with the government shutdown and shit like that. And I had a fucking moment of clarity. And I was like, okay, wait, hold on. That's not in your fucking wheelhouse. You're not interested in that. Don't fucking talk about this on Misanthrope Radio. But when that friend of mine died and I saw that obituary, I kind of flew off the rails a little bit. And I just, I couldn't make myself sit down and tell dick jokes and be stupid. It doesn't have to be dick jokes all the time. Thanks for listening. Until next time.